The question was asked, how do we lead benching? So what is leading benching? Technically, our sages instituted that when people get together, when they eat together a meal, so if there are three or more, so then one person will say the benching on behalf of everyone. This is a biblical concept called Shomea Keoneh. We know we have a biblical responsibility to say Birkat HaMazon, to thank Hashem after we've eaten bread. We have a biblical concept of Shomea Keoneh, that I can listen to someone else say a blessing, and if I have intention for that blessing to be on my behalf, and he has intention for that blessing to be on my behalf, so then my listening to his blessing is as though I've said the blessing. Shomea, my listening. Ke'one is as though I've responded, as though I've declared the blessing. So our sages instituted that from three and up, for once you have three people present who have eaten together, or more, so then they can unite, and one person will say the blessings on behalf of all of them. That's part one. So we have a concept called Zimun, where we unite to make that blessing. What do? Let's say I'm the one leading the blessings. I say, Rabotai Nevarech. Gentlemen, let's make the blessing. So I'm calling everyone to attention, and we're agreeing that I will lead the benching on behalf of everyone. So they say, of course we agree, Yehi Shem Hashem Evarach Matav Ad Olam. May Hashem's name be blessed forever, even though they're only going to be listening, but they're making this declaration. I respond to them, Yishem Hashem Barach Matav Adolam. Then I make the formal declaration that I will be leading blessings for everyone. I say, Birshut, with the permission of all of you, Nevarech, let us now bless Hashem who she'achalnu mishalo, we've eaten from him. And everyone says, yes, you will lead us in benching, Baruch she'achalnu mishalo, blessed is he from whom we've eaten, and we live in his goodness and kindness, and then they fall silent. They've said their initial blessing, so to speak, and now they fall silent and listen to me lead benching. This is the way Zimun was done up until about 1,000 years ago, or 800 years ago. And then the Rush writes, people. So then what would happen is everyone would be silent and listen, and the one person would lead benching. Some Yemenites, till today, they do it that way. Everyone pays attention, and that person says benching on their behalf.
Out loud, right?
Correct. That person says all of benching out loud. Everyone listens, and he says it on behalf of everyone. They just answer amen at the end of each blessing. Okay? Along came the Rush, Rabbeinu Asher, who lived part of the time in Germany and then later on in Spain when he was persecuted, when the prince wanted to capture him. So the Rush writes that we have difficulty focusing. For such a long blessing, we can't focus the whole time. I'm supposed to be paying attention to his blessing. So as such, we don't do it this way. We don't do Zimun this way anymore. We maintain the concept that one person can lead benching, but we quietly say benching together with him. So ideally, when we have Zimun till today, the person who does the Zimun should say it out loud. Because that's the real institution. If you can't do the whole thing out loud, you should at least do the beginning and end of each blessing out loud. And the people who, the rest of the people, should be saying their benching in conjunction at the same pace with the one who's leading the blessing. And every time he concludes a blessing, they should conclude a millisecond before him and then answer amen to his blessing. They finish the blessing, he finishes the blessing, they answer amen. Because technically that was the institution. So that's the idea of Zimun. Now, aside from this, there's a concept that when we honor a blessing, we do it over a cup of grape juice or wine. Technically, even when we bench alone, we should do it over a cup of grape juice. We don't do that anymore. So our custom today is that when we bench alone, we don't do it over a cup of grape juice. It's not so clear why. I think it might be just because grape juice was so expensive. Once we were exiled from Israel, you start living in a place like France or Germany, where all the grapevines are, or most of the grapevines are owned by non-Jews. If you want to buy kosher wine, it's very, very, very expensive. So look at the Chafetz Chaim in Poland, in Radin. He couldn't afford grape juice for Shabbos. You know, he had a little cup because he couldn't afford the grape juice. So that's, I think that's probably historically why people stopped benching over a cup. But really, when you're benching three people together, anytime you have a zimun, what?
What did he drink?
I'm saying his glass for Kiddush by day was a smaller glass of grape juice. Even though ideally the Chafetz Chaim writes you should have a bigger glass for making Kiddush. So he had a bigger goblet for the nighttime Kiddush, which is biblical. But for the daytime Kiddush, it was cheaper to invest the silver and buy a smaller goblet. And that way he used less grape juice than to use the bigger goblet and fill it. So he had a smaller goblet for the daytime Kiddush. It was very, very expensive to have grape juice or wine. So they used wine primarily because they didn't have refrigeration and they didn't have sulfites. So it would rot. How long could you have grape juice for? An hour? A day? Saying that the Talmud discusses. You take the grapes, you squeeze them out, you make a blessing. Yeah, that's when you can do that. But if you're not literally freshly squeezing the grapes, then it was very hard to have grape juice without refrigeration. So they had wine. Wine ferments and lasts. It doesn't go bad. So coming back to blessing over a cup. When you have three people... Sorry, when you have a zimun of three people, so then a person should ideally do it over a cup. If you're a guest, it's not polite to ask for one. And when it's in your own home, and you can, so then it's much preferable to do it over a cup of grape juice or wine. What we do is we hold the cup up. The cup should ideally be washed before you fill it, inside and out. You fill the cup to the top with grape juice or wine. You hold the cup one tefach, one hand's width over the ground, over the table at least, or the ground, whichever one. If you're sitting Chinese style on the ground, then it's over the ground. If you're sitting around the table, it's one tefach over the table. You could actually put your elbow down on the table, because otherwise it's very hard to hold it in the air all the time. And you say, Rabotai Nevarech. Now, ideally, if possible, if a person is the type of person who wears a hat, so it's nice to respect the blessing and wear a hat and jacket for that. Some people will pour out to everyone else, so it's nice to have the cup set up around the cup before you say the blessing, so you could pour it out for everyone else. And ideally, we fill the cup till the top. As you lead the blessings, usually only the one leading the blessing holds a cup, you hold the cup until you conclude Birkat HaMazon.
All of it, or just the biblical part?
So ideally, you hold it till the end. You could put it down when you reach Al Yechasreinu, according to some opinions. I don't know. If you don't have to, you don't have to. If you're not tired, you could hold it up still. It would seem, according to the Rambam, that the Arachamans are a continuation of the Al Yechasreinu, their continuation, right, of that blessing. So it's nice if a person can hold it all the way till the end. When you conclude Birkat HaMazon, so then you should have another cup present, a clean cup, other than the cup of grape juice. And then you say, Savri Maranan, listen up, ladies and gentlemen, and you make a blessing, Borei Pri Agafen. And then just before you take a sip, you pour out a little grape juice so that other people can drink from it, namely your host, the owner of the house, his wife, or anyone else. You don't have to go offering it around. The owner of the house should offer it. Notice that you made the blessing, then you poured out a little wine, and then you drank the remainder. Ideally, you should drink a Melo Lugmav, you should drink Rov Revius, preferably a person should drink maybe even a Revius, and then make an after blessing of Valagefen, Valapriagefen.
And then from that wine that you poured, you can add into that wine, and it's all holy wine?
You could, I don't know why you would.
Just to make more of it.
Why do you need more of it?
I don't know.
I guess if you're the host, you could do that, but if you're not the host, so then...
If
you're a guest, you shouldn't... Shouldn't volunteer the host's wine.
Is it a hefsek? I know Sephardim say Kosi Shotisa Ushamacha Mikra in between.
And then Savri Maranan?
Yeah.
I don't think it's a hefsek if that's their custom.
Right.
I don't think so.
And so another thing you said is that everyone does it aloud, but you do the end of each bracha. I'm sorry, everyone does it silently, but you do the end of each bracha out loud.
I said that if you can't do all of it out loud, then you should do the beginning, the first few words, and the last few words of each blessing out loud.
So, but the best is to do everything out loud?
Correct. It might annoy your host. If your host is not aware of this halacha, they might not be so comfortable with you saying all benching out loud. So you got to find the happy medium where you're not saying it so out loud that you're distracting them. And you are saying it out loud that those who want to pay attention will. Technically, most people do not say it out loud. People are unaware of this. The Chayyadim says this, and it's based on the idea that that's the original institution of Zimun.
Isn't there an issue with, if let's say you're saying it silently, and then you raise your voice to the end? Isn't there an issue with other people can't respond amen if they're past or they're not up to there yet?
It's not your issue. They shouldn't be there yet. Okay, on this point, or?
Yeah, are you including the simulator if you don't respond? You're in the room and you're participating, but like...
No.
No?
No.
I think you actually have to respond.
Sometimes people like throw out Zimun, like, and I'm like...
You missed it. You missed it. If you missed the Zimun, you missed the Zimun. In Malasa, there's nothing you can do.
So it's not...